it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bringing you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
Bleacher Report published a list of 20 trade candidates ahead of the NFL's November 4th trade deadline, which included Arizona Cardinals defensive lineman Calais Campbell. The Bears were listed as a top landing spot for Campbell. Would you give this trade the green light or red light?
I think I'm more worried about the fact that we even have to ask this question. That the Bears, after spending that much money on Montez Sweat, Grady Jarrett, and Dio Odengbo, where you're still even having to discuss this. And it's right to be discussing. So I think you have to be open, but the better question is, who's replacing who here? How would that go? Like, you're talking about a lot of money theoretically being exchanged if there's a contract involved.
Calais Campbell is how old again?
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
I believe he's pushing 40.
He's currently 39.
So that would be pushing 40.
Man, that's on that Jason Peters plan, just on the defensive line version. That's what that is.
The short answer to this is, if it costs you very little, go get him. Go get whoever you can to help you. I believe defensively, the line, it's like pitchers in baseball. You can never have too many. Just go get them. Go get them. But also, is Austin Booker playing anytime soon? Like, I have questions about other guys on the defensive line that currently are on the Bears and whether or not they're going to be used in a certain way.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of strange, like trade that has to happen transaction-wise.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, edge versus defensive tackle, three technique, all these things. These are all different things and needs and everything else. But the bottom line is, if you're Ryan Poles right now, especially, let's say, because the trade deadline is, I believe, first week in November. So you've got less than 3 weeks until the deadline. If they mess around and win this week and they mess around and find a way to beat the Ravens on the road, you got to be all in on this season, do you not? It's a very broken NFC right now.
You have to be all in on the season based on other people who you sign to massive deals. Like, that's the other part of this. You know, it's not based on the contract of your most talented player, which should be your quarterback. In this case, it's you signed Montez Sweat to that contract. You know, you have to take advantage of those. Like, you don't make those big swings without thinking there's some sort of window here.
So the window itself, I believe, is the life of that rookie contract in terms of, like, your first window to win. And if you can get guys that can help you win while the quarterback, Caleb Williams, is still on that rookie contract, you just do it.
Text line says, does Arizona need a place kicker? Seems like we might have an extra one. They said yesterday the plan is that Cairo Santos will play once he is healthy. So just so you're aware.
So the NFL trade deadline is November 4th. And there will be 3 games the Bears have until then. The Saints game and the Ravens and Bengals game. So they have 3 games to prove if they're all in or not.
Yeah. Go.
And they're a big 3 games when you consider what the record could be. Like, you've got to be encouraged by what you've seen. The only thing that holds you back is perhaps the competitive level of the division. You know, that would mean, oh man, you're talking about at least that would be 2 wild cards out of 1 division potentially.
Yeah, they could. I expect them to have maybe 2 wild cards out of 1 division this year, based on what's going on. So, I think ultimately, if they win 2 of their next 3 games, they have to be buyers at the deadline. So go get what you can get to help you do what you need.
Also, just for clarification, there's a texter that is adamant saying that I skip showering. No.
Skip shaving.
I just don't shave every day in the shower.
I'm glad that you...
I'm sorry that it even has to be brought up, but, you know, people talk about showers on the radio and everybody gets all up in a tizzy.
Number 2.
Tizzy.
Do we prefer calling tonight's Bengals-Steelers game the Icy Hot Bowl or the Unk Bowl?
The Icy Hot Bowl could actually, that actually could be a college football bit. Like, instead of qualifying for a bowl game, it's the players with the two, like, oldest average teams. You know, it's the two teams that have the oldest average age out of their players. And then they could call it the Icy Hot Bowl. I feel like that would be fun. It's got to be the Unk Bowl, right?
There were other suggestions, by the way.
I just picture this. I picture a lot of standing like this after the game.
The Tiger Bomb Bowl live from the Metrodome, sponsored by Depends, Viagra, and Flomax. That was one suggestion.
I don't even know what Flomax is.
That's 515 on the text line.
That's somebody in marketing. That was way too good.
But there were other suggestions about what this thing should be called. The Bengay Bowl, the Reverse Mortgage Bowl.
The Reverse Mortgage Bowl.
So, yeah, I like, for me personally, the Icy Hot Bowl, because I think it hits better with that part of the population. Like, the Unk thing is more about the youth calling older people Unk. The Icy Hot thing is more about, like, the Shaq age, people who were raised on Shaq. Know exactly what Icy Hot is because Shaq told you about it back in the day, as like in now.
The Biofreeze Bowl.
Biofreeze Bowl. That works too.
Yeah, there's a lot of ailments that that I feel like can be cured with that. The Tiger Balm, though.
Listen, man, we all know what time it is.
At what age do you become Unk?
Oh, this is an excellent question. This is, I believe Anthony Heron also asked it because he got called OG. One day in public, and now, that worried him.
OG is above Unk in this, like.
Well, and Ant's older than us.
No, Ant's.
I thought he wasn't, but apparently he is.
No, Ant's like our age.
No, he's like a year or two older than you, I believe. I thought Ant was like 12.
Anthony Heron is 46 years old.
Oh, so, oh.
Yeah. That's why I'd be like, Ant, respect your elders.
Sorry, Ant, I just outed your age. My bad, Ant.
Marshall's a deceptor.
I knew he was my age if I wasn't even older. So, but what I'm saying
is. He looks like he's 12.
Yeah, Ant's black don't crack. Ant's good.
Oh, it's just his youthful smile.
Yeah, no, but seriously, with this game, I'm so intrigued to see what happens in this game. Because Joe Flacco, he didn't even have a week to get the playbook together. And you saw what he looked like in the second half of that game last week. It's like, oh, the Bengals aren't terrible, which is concerning. And we heard Mike Florio tell us yesterday, nobody wants to see Joe Flacco, an experienced quarterback, versus the alternative in Jake Browning.
The you want Big Browning Lou out there. Life Insurance Bowl?
Oh, not Big Lou. Wow.
Oh my God, 847 says that we started calling anybody over the age of 25 Unk.
Well, it's like when they asked the NBA players this, the rookies, and they were saying basically everybody was Unk that was able to like 25. Like, Unk. Devin Booker is Unk.
Oh, no.
Like, stop.
You know what? That's what happens when all you have is your youth, because we have, as humans, have decimated all of your resources and possibilities to prosper. So I guess go with it. I'm out here still side parting my hair.
Number three.
It's 5 on it on 670 The Score with Raheemy Harris and Grody. Mark Grody joins the show at 125, bringing us the latest from Halas Hall. And hey, programming note, hot off the presses, Cubs second baseman Nico Horner will join Spiegel and Holmes this afternoon at 3. Speaking of the Cubs, question number three, Kyle Tucker had a post on Instagram which read, quote, "Thank you, Chicago, for riding with us all year. Y'all's support was there no matter what, and we couldn't have done it without you," unquote. Here is the question. Does that sound like a guy who's coming back to the Cubbies?
I can't believe that for the second time today we're having to evaluate athlete Instagram posts.
It's the world we live in.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like somebody who knows how to write a brilliant statement. He didn't commit to anything. He didn't decommit to anything. He just said thank you. And I think he actually means it.
You know what he didn't say?
But you know what? That would work next season for another team. That would work next season for the Cubs. That would work this season for the Cubs. That's just good writing on his part. I tip my cap.
He didn't say thank you, may I have another. He didn't say that. He could have said that.
If here's the thing. If I know I can make, I don't know, $25 more if I don't tip my hat, what do you think I'm doing?
not tipping your hat.
Bingo. Secure the bag, Kyle Tucker. Good writing and good PR out of you.
Is your dollar millions in translation to Kyle Tucker's situation? So
yes, yes,
$25 it is. More versus $25 million more if you're Kyle Tucker.
Somebody said the other day, I think it was on Twitch, they were like, do you know how many Crunchwrap Supremes or Cheesy Gordita Crunches that buys? And I forget what the math was, but I was like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the math I'm here to do. So like, yeah, if I can get like two more Crunchwrap Supremes, if I just like phrase things better, guess what I'm going to do? Phrase things better.
Yeah, I just don't think he's coming back. I think I'm resigned to that. And I would rather be pleasantly surprised than disappointed. You know? But I'm still dying at these names for this bowl game, by the way.
I can't. My favorite, every time I look at the text line.
Adrian and Oceanside, the Get Your Affairs in Order Bowl.
Oh, God.
Like, wow.
It's time for a colonoscopy bowl. Wait a second, but 45 is the recommended age now.
It's getting earlier and earlier now. Everyone get checked.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that, Robbie. Also, the Poly Grip Bowl.
The Little Rascal Bowl.
Somebody just said the Viejo Bowl, which I actually think is hilarious because that's just old in Spanish. Oh, my word. These are cracking me up.
Number four.
Before we get to our fourth question, everyone, listen up. Tune in tonight as Josh Giddey and the Bulls continue their preseason against the Timberwolves. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington will be on the call from United Center. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off at 7, right here on 670 The Score. Who put that in the copy?
Why did we let Robbie read that?
You know what? Robbie reads ads very enthusiastically. He does. Like, he's really good with his delivery. But also, we should try to just interview Josh Giddey. I feel like Josh Giddey should know how much Robbie loves him.
I have questions for Josh Giddey.
And he's Australian, so you know that the interview would sound cool because accents are fun. We should just try to get him on the show.
Let's do it before Wednesday. We'll get our guys on that.
Maybe we don't start with the question.
No, that's a nine.
Do you know Robbie loves you?
I mean, I feel like that should be the entire interview, but whatever. Question number four. Every year, the Boston Celtics hold a media scrimmage. This year, Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla made a slight change.
No, but I don't want to break it to you, but you're not playing against each other. You're playing against the coaches.
So the Celtics media had to play against the Celtics coaches, and the Celtics coaches won 57-4. What would the score be if the media played the Bulls coaches?
I guess two questions. One, is Kendall Gill out there?
That's four. Who had the two buckets? That's the better question here.
But you know what? I appreciate this from a is this petty standpoint. You know, all year, we've got everyone from bloggers to, you know, actual beat writers to commentators, analysts, talking about teams and the decisions they make and the coaches should have done this and the coaches should have done that. Well, in this instance, all those media members had to face the fire. He's like, oh, you think you know more about basketball than me? Watch this.
I just die laughing. If I even got close enough for a layup, it would just be horribly blocked and I would just break down and start laughing.
And if you think that's bad that they did this, that Joe Mazzulla, that this was what he decided to do. And I covered this guy when he played basketball under Bob Huggins at West Virginia. Understand this. The Celtics social media team put out a video of the event the day of and then made a highlight reel the next day to highlight all of just the foolishness of these media members out here trying to guard former basketball players.
773 is correct. Casey Johnson can hoop. 773 on the text line is correct.
Okay, so you got Casey Johnson out there. You got Kendall Gill out there. I'm trying to think of who else. Oh, Cam!
Cam Smith can hoop, yeah. He played at SIU.
And he's hosting Joe Kelly's
got six fouls to give.
Well, let's say like we made a score team, because I think I'd be on it. Basketball is my favorite sport. I think I'm the best here in the entire office at basketball.
Ooh,
I think you would be on the team. I think we have Lawrence. I think if we had Gabe Ramirez, because I know Gabe plays a lot, now we just have to find our fifth man. And once we do that, then I think we have a run for our money.
Do you need somebody to turn over, miss shots, and foul?
Yes.
Then I'm your girl.
Right, well, we also have some depth here because we've got Ant Heron who can be our big man down low. We've got
throw the bows in the paint, Ant.
Clay.
Oh, if we had Clay.
Yeah, we got Clay Harbor.
We have David Hall.
He's not that good at basketball, but he is big.
Yeah, no, wasn't that the Remy Martin crew? Like, David was a part of the Remy Martin crew.
Oh, yeah,
David
will play. I want Grody to be our enforcer. Like, he's the one who's like our Bill Laimbeer, hard screens, fighting people. You ain't my beer. And he's just going after people.
Yeah, listen, I always say, I got six fouls to give. Other than that, I don't know what good I am.
But yeah, you think about it, and yeah, the Bulls coaches, they would definitely run us, but we would score more than 4 points. I'm confident in that. We would score more than 4 points.
57-4 is hilarious.
Number five.
Last question here in Five On It. Raheemy Harrison Grody. Mark Grody, he'll be here at 125 from Hallis Hall. What's the point of a dryer sheet?
Okay, this really has to do with a basic question of life. How many dryer sheets do you put in per load of laundry? So I started with one. You know, my mom taught me how to do laundry, and then I realized that was kind of pointless. One dryer sheet ain't doing much. So then I'll up the ante to like 2, 3, 4 per sheet, per like dryer load.
Wait. Back up. How many?
Like 2 or 3 or sometimes even 4.
Why are you putting 4 dryer sheets in the...
Sheets and towels. I really want them to smell good.
That's way too many dryer sheets.
Yeah, I think probably, that's too many dryer sheets.
They're okay.
Like, is your like clothes and your towels like grimy and sticky and stuff afterwards?
No, because I don't do fabric softener. So like dryer sheets are my thing.
Yeah, the dryer sheet can take the place of a fabric softener in this instance. The reason I use a dryer sheet is because I hate static in my clothes, and that's the thing that I know gets the static out of the clothes.
So like, let's say let's interview a rich person. Do you think a rich person uses a dryer sheet?
A rich person?
They're probably not doing their laundry, if that's what you're asking.
Well, I mean, like, does the person who does their laundry use a dryer sheet?
The better question is, we need to talk to a fluff and fold or something like that. Somebody who does laundry professionally. They would know what to do.
I just don't know if there's a purpose of it. I think we are all fools of big dryer sheet.
No,
I think they have us in their back pocket.
I even put them in my drawers to make them smell good.
Yeah, they have other uses.
And my luggage,
Robbie.
Actually.
I will do that, like, if I feel like my clothes, I'll, like, wipe it on my clothes. But besides that, like, I don't know if they really serve a purpose in the laundry.
No, they serve a purpose, because the static thing is real. If you've ever had, like, staticky clothes because you forgot to put a dryer sheet in there, that's
Twitch chat is on fire about this.
Oh, what are they saying?
No dryer sheets for towels. I'm sorry. My towels have been great, and I wash and dry them, and they're
well,
fine.
Well, I think dryer sheets, they have a bad effect on things that
absorbency.
Are supposed to absorb.
Yeah, but mine are good. They absorb well. Towel sheets or towels should not get softened. Fabric softener, I am skeptical of. I don't use. Stop using liquid detergent.
Wait, stop using liquid detergent. There's other detergent.
I can't do that. My washer costs for high-end.
There's other
product.
Type of
there's
detergent.
Powder. Yeah, Tide used to come in a box.
You can get a pod. You can do... There's so many different
I've
ways.
I've never heard of that. I've only done like the Tide.
Do you shop for your own detergent? You
yeah,
never looked around
yeah.
and seen what
I
else is on that aisle?
Spam Killer says, destroys your sense of smell. No, you know what did destroy my sense of smell? COVID! COVID destroyed my sense of smell.
So one of my favorite things
somebody says Tide Pods taste great. Don't do it! Don't do it!
Don't do that. One of the basic uses of a dryer sheet is you can scrub away like the burnt stuck on food off pots and pans using a dryer sheet. Did you know that?
What about a sponge?
Sponges in his... abrasive. Although I use,
I feel like there's better ways than a dryer sheet for that.
These are life hacks.
You can also calm your pet, your dog that you got rid of, Robbie, during a storm. You can lift pet hair from clothes and furniture with dryer sheet. They work well in shoes.
708 is right about vinegar. Vinegar is an excellent fabric softener. It also cleans your washing machine very well.
Dryer sheets also can be used to clean electronic screens as well. There's so many uses for a dryer sheet.
I used to try and hide when I would smoke in the house when I was a youth, I would put like dryer sheets in a paper towel roll and then blow my smoke through there. And my mom had no idea.
Well, she does now. I'll make sure she gets this audio.
That's what a sneaky sneak.
Savvy move by me. All right, that was Five On It.
Yeah, dryer sheet talk. It's big. A lot of people are talking about it. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We could talk about this and much more with Jarrett Payton. Of course, the WGN-TV sports anchor. You know Jarrett well. Jarrett joins us next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jarrett Payton.
My name is Jarrett Payton, and I am here to motivate you today.
Former NFL running back.
Jarrett Payton wearing his father's number, number 34, and looking like the old man. Look at this run. A gorgeous job by Jarrett Payton.
The son of sweetness.
There's Walter with his Cubs jacket on, and here he comes up. His son Jarrett is with him. Sweetness. What an ovation.
Sports anchor for WGN.
You know me. I'm the resident running back.
Jarrett Payton with Raheemy Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
Realest statement made on The Score. Belonging to Jarrett Payton. He is at Payton's son on X. The WGN Sports anchor. We always love to watch Jarrett when he's on GN Sports. And when he's just living his life, things are good when Jarrett Payton is good. That's how this goes. If he goes, we go. So we love talking to Jarrett Payton, especially after a Bears win. This is a nice feeling, Jarrett. How are you?
Hey, you two. How you guys doing? Yes, it feels good. It feels good to be a Bears fan right now. And just to kind of bask in this three-game win streak and coming off of a bye week where the team seemed prepared, which I'm not accustomed to, I think. And then, and then also too, just the fight. You guys, the fight in this team too. Just it hasn't been pretty over the last two games, right? Where they had to figure this thing out. But anytime that you can do that, and you start feeding off of your head coach and what he's all about and what he's selling to me. It's one of those teams that I wish I still have my shoulder pads and my helmet that I could, when I hear Ben Johnson after these wins getting crazy and this team getting lit with them, I'm like, yeah, this is something that I would want to be a part of.
Jared, I'm glad you said that because I was thinking after the win, like in the aftermath of you escaped Washington with a second straight road win. I was like, who's more inspired right now? His players or the fan base? And I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think both, because there's so much, Marshall, that's riding on this, and it's still so early in the Ben Johnson era. But you were hoping to be able to see some things that you're not accustomed to seeing, and hopefully they would play out in front of your eyes. And what we saw on Monday night was, listen. Sometimes throughout the game, you have a great start. Then in the middle there, you're trying to figure out offensively. Your defense is getting takeaways, but can you find a way late in games to be able to get your team a win? I think that's where it's like, okay, they can build from this. And so if you're not, some people are like head all into the Kool-Aid, but it's hard not to, Marshall, when you kind of look at the schedule over the next few weeks, right? Where these are winnable games for this Bears team where they actually have a chance. And if you would have looked at this schedule before the season started, you would have been like, oh, Bengals, Ravens? Oh, yeah, that's an L. You just mark it down as an L. Well, things are a little bit different now. And so, I think everybody's encouraged. But what's most important is the guys inside that locker room are feeling encouraged and they have belief, because that builds character, that builds success. And we're seeing a team learn how to win, which last year after that Washington game, it was, they found ways to lose. And that's hard to do. I mean, that's hard to get over. And so now we're starting to see them figure out how to win. And to me, that's a big characteristic for a football team that's trying to aspire to do great things.
Well, Jarrett, I'm glad you brought it up the way you did, because having played on a team, having been a former athlete, I think there are times where you realize, like during the season, oh, this might be ahead of schedule. Like you learn who your team is, and you might be saying to yourself, oh, like this season looks a lot more attainable in a way that we maybe thought, we were going to get to the next season. I think people have reasonable expectations. What can you tell us about being a part of that thought process? Because that's not something that we get to discuss very often.
Yeah, I look at it, Layla, from the beginning. Caitlin Sharkey and I, when we were writing down, looking at wins and losses early in the season, before the season, and I had things just marked down, and I was like, there's no way, but the end, they're going to win these games, and that was around that time when I was looking at directly the the Bengals game and the Ravens game. And you sometimes in the process, you don't think about that it's the game of football and things change week to week. And that's what's so hard where, you know, a key player, you're thinking in your mind that Joe Burrow is going to be there. Well, he's not going to be there. And things are that team is trying to figure out stuff. So at the beginning of every season, every team believes that they got a chance, right? And so you never want to come in going, oh, yeah, we're only going to win like three games this year. No, that's not the goal. Everybody's working hard. And if you can build some type of chemistry and some kind of cohesive unit together and belief, then a season can turn out. You never know how it's going to turn out. So I think just like inside of a locker room, there is always belief. And if you have the right person, not only the head coach, he's the one leading it, but guys like Antoine Randle-El, like the energy that he brings off as well, like all these your assistant coaches, if they can kind of have that vibe as well, it goes a long way in a really, really long season that, you know, we're still at the beginning of all this. I'm very intrigued to see how it all plays itself out by the end of the season.
Jared Payton joining us on Raheemy Harrison Grody, the WGN TV sports anchor. And I ask you, Jared, after seeing that running game look like an actual running game in this last game, how confident are you that they can continue to do what we saw on Monday night against the Commanders?
Marshall, they better keep it going. They have to. And kudos and hats off to Ben Johnson once again and his staff for figuring out throughout this bye week of like what we're doing. I said this on Mullion Hall the other day. I really do believe that when they, and Layla, I think I heard you say it the other day too. I'm always listening about whittling down the playbook a little bit for the week and mm-hmm. saying like we're going in with a smaller table set of what we're going to do. And I think that helped. And I think that's what they did with the running game. They broke this thing down and said, all right, we're four games in. A perfect time for their bye week, too, for them as a new coaching staff to try to figure this out for a first-time head coach saying, now how do we break this down to what we did well? And maybe throw out some of the stuff that we still need to work on, but we need to get this going so we can elevate our offense as a whole. And I think that's what we saw that Washington game. They went through that film and tried to say, how can we expose this defense? And what they did was they used the strengths of what DeAndre Swift is all about. And what I always talk about is getting him out in space. And once we saw that, this offensive line, the combination that they have now. Shout out to Theo Benedict one more time because the rookie took care of his opportunity. And, man, and I – Darnell Wright, man. Like, a UCL, I can only imagine what that feels like. Like, just – we know pitchers are pretty – getting Tommy John at that time, right?
Yep.
You got to go – you have to get out and not only, like – play a football game, you have to extend your arm, you have to, you're punching people on pass protection. The tore it all shots that I would probably need to be able to do that, I wouldn't even tell you how many it would have to be. So just to see this offensive line and that interior starting to gel as well with those veterans that have been around, I think they have an opportunity, Marshall, to keep this thing going. And Kyle Manungai as well getting involved in the run game. I said we saw Roshan with one carry. I mean, there's an opportunity for them to be special and control this ground game. And I believe from my heart, from the beginning of the season, that's what this offense should have. It should have been that way from the beginning. And I know it takes time. And Ben Johnson talked about that it was going to take time for this run game to get going. But maybe this is the perfect time, and it's all about being patient as a fan. I know it's probably hard for him to be patient as a head coach, but all of them, from every aspect of that offense, the offensive line, the running backs, and also the head coach, we're talking about patience, and I think we're at that point now. I have confidence that they can move forward because it seems like they have the right combination with that offensive line.
Well, and Jared, I think your ears perked to the same thing that I think ours did when it came to Ben Johnson saying he simplified the playbook because that's not what he was saying at the beginning of this. You know, in training camp, he talked about people needing to adjust to his expectations. And I think as a coach, you have to do that at some point. You have to kind of adjust to what you're being given.
But Layla, I got to say this, though. Yes, I heard that. But let's go back to what he talked about before they even put on pads and helmets. He was talking about that this is my offense. It's like I'm a one of one. So my goal is not to have the same offense that we had in Detroit, but to be able to sculpt this thing around the players that I have. And most coaches fall into that trap where, and I saw it with Matt Nagy, like, mm-hmm. this is my way or the highway. You need to figure it out. Hence the reason why I don't think we got the best out of Mitchell Trubisky or Justin Fields. It's like, this is it. This is, you better fit in here. And that's how I see coaches start to decline. If you can fit your offense and what you want to do around your players and their skill sets, that's how you have success. And so that's what I'm happy for, that he kind of said something early, then kind of said something a little bit later, like, oh yeah, you got to fit into my expectations, to like, whoa, 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 let me break this down. This is not about me. This is about the betterment of the team. And that's what I thought we saw in Washington.
Here's what I want to know, Jarrett, before we let you go. Are you Unk? Have you been called Unk? Are you of Unk age? I we're trying to get this defined, and I figured you'd be a person to ask such question to.
I have been, especially to this younger generation now, that I'm like, I'm dabbling into having these conversations with these younger players that are in high school that are going on to the next level. And yeah, they kind of see me as Unk. Sometimes I see it in text messages, and it's kind of weird, but I'm accepting it. Because, yes, I've been there before, done that, and, just a cool moment that you've actually been through it, Marshall, and now you can kind of guide the next generation that's coming, and it's still kind of weird, because the gray hairs are coming out, so I guess I am Unk now. You just don't see it because of the bald head. But also, too, I just wanted to let you guys know, too, I don't know if you guys watched the GN Sports last night, but we have a new show out called The Sports Office. It's basically a web show. It starts at 7:30 every single night on WGN Plus. It's our streaming app on smart TV. So if you get a chance, you can see kind of the behind the scenes of what's going on before we do GN Sports. And it's Monday through Friday, every single night at 7:30 on our WGN Plus app. So tap in with us, man, and we're going to get the fans involved as well.
I saw the promo. I love that it plays off of The Office. It's great stuff. I saw it on Josh's IG, and I wish you guys all the success with that as well.
Appreciate you guys, man. As always, Layla, Marshall, you two are the best, man. Grody, I know you hear me somewhere. Love you too, bro.
We appreciate it, Jarrett. And no, I'm not ready for you to be Unk yet, because just like you said about Uncle Luke and Hennessy, I feel like we're going to be the ones in the club saying the kids aren't going hard enough, and we're going to be 60.
We ain't going to the club, Layla. We're done with that.
Yeah, like, let's be honest, Layla. Let's be honest.
Dude, I don't know. Juvenile came up with a new song, and he's basically telling people they're still not going hard enough. And I was like, it begins. Our generation won't let it go.
Just like the generation before us, Jarrett, you know, we're complaining about what the youth are doing. And that's not the way we did it. You guys can't keep up with us.
It's these kids now. Every time I'm walking around my house, all I hear is my daughter just saying 6'7". I'm like, what is going on here?
Oh, the
what
6'7".
I mean, oh my goodness. She, man, you got to live your life to try to have like a 10 day, you know, you do.
I understand.
Jarrett, thank you so much. As always, we love talking to you. Thank you.
See Thanks,
you
Jarrett.
That's Jarrett Payton. And yeah, we check out the new show they've got going on WGN, Behind the Scenes. I love it. That's a cool concept.
It's a coolie shot, just like The Office. They're open or promo. I don't know if it's a promo or also an open that also serves as an open.
They do creative stuff over there at that WGN. They got what they good call show ideas.
Resources.
That they do.
And they use them well.
Yeah. We have more to come here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. You know, they say it's better to be lucky than to be good, but what if you're good and lucky? I think that may be what happened to the Bears on Monday night for one play. We will discuss, and they'll let us know next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now third down and 4, play clock is at 2. They just got it away, and it's Swift with a catch. And still going, DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone. Juan Martin missed a tackle along the way. They needed 4 on third down. They get 55, and they barely got this play away before the play clock expired.
By the way, I thought that that was what Aikman was referring to when he said lucky on the play. I didn't necessarily think that it was the construction or the missed tackle. I thought it was the play clock winding down, because I, too, was concerned about that snap. Robbie, you're nodding your head. You agree with that?
Yeah, he was talking about that was the play where he called it lucky.
And the reason I bring that up is because it was brought up to us by a bunch of people in our 10 o'clock segment. If you missed it, we were talking about the whole Troy Aikman, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, and to quote Michael Jordan, I took it personally conversation. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And that DeAndre Swift play was absolutely outstanding. I mean, it helped seal the game for the Bears, as we know. The run after the catch was just absolutely quintessential. Like, if you're putting something together for somebody's highlight reel, you know, and he's got many highlights, I feel like that was one of those excellent plays that said, this is what this team can do with these people.
I understand that it was a huge play. It was a game-changing play. My question is, if it wasn't going as it was designed to go, is that a problem, or is that just a sometimes this happens? I feel like that doesn't happen. I feel like usually when things get called wrong, things go wrong, but so they got fortunate.
That's the point we were going to make. Like, the Bears were what we thought running a play that everybody knew what the plan was. It looked like something you would see out of the Ben Johnson offense, except it's Caleb Williams who tells us that that play wasn't exactly communicated the right way.
DeAndre said that on that 5-yard touchdown catch, he credited you with getting the ball to him a little early.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it from your perspective.
Yeah, I messed up the play call. And so great job to the guys. You know, getting lined up in that situation and us being able to get something off. And, great job to Swift. Ran a great route. And you know, he got his eyes around, had a lot of space. So I wanted him to get the ball early so he can go, you know, make play in space, which he does best. So he made a great play and went 55 yards for us.
What is that play called?
Can't tell you the name.
Okay, all right.
Come on, man.
You said you messed up the play call. By the time the snap was off today, was it right? Was it?
We end up fixing it when the ball got snapped.
How about that?
Part of me is like, why are you being so transparent? But part of me is like, because I love that you're being accountable, but what?
Well, partially because of the coach. Ben Johnson talked about it on Tuesday. Take a listen.
That's one of those that I know that I'm holding those timeouts there in the second half because we're going to need them at the end of the game, and trusting that our guys are going to make the play right, and they did that.
That they made the play right. They had enough, and that would make the delay of the snap make sense, would it not?
It would, and also, I bet that timeout gets called if it's the first half. But
exactly.
You need the timeouts in the second half.
I hear they call that clock management.
Oh, man.
And strategy. Apparently, that's something that teams do.
It's
big
crazy.
If true.
We have not, I'm sorry, I have not complained about clock management through 5 games in the 2025 season.
I haven't either.
Almost has become a thing I don't think much about.
And do you know what the best example is of that case? The fact that the game-winning field goal was kicked as time expired. Like, that's how you run it, man. That is how you do it. But I asked the question earlier, is it better to be lucky than good? Well, in this case, you were good and you were lucky?
They were lucky, which gave them an opportunity to be good, is kind of how I look at it. Because they were lucky that they were able to get that snap off in time. And then they were good enough to get the ball to DeAndre Swift, as he said, earlier than what maybe the play called for, because that gave him more space to operate.
Not to be a boring Betty over here, whole, you know, good standard operating procedures allow more time to take risk and double check. That's kind of what that is. When you're getting to the line faster and you realize you've done something incorrectly, which I think happens more often than they'll ever tell us.
That's fair.
Because you see breakdowns happen where maybe there's a miscommunication with a route run or where the throw is going to be, for example. That's just one. Thank goodness you have enough time to fix the mistake.
And that's why Ben Johnson. That's why he harps on like the pre-snap procedure so much, because you want to give your team a fighting chance at the line of scrimmage.
Well, also your pre-snap has to be really, really solid in his game specifically because of the pre-snap motions you see. Because they'll show one formation, do multiple things out of the same one, and the only difference may be motion. And then sometimes they're even so bold as the pre-snap motion will go to that design player, like, because they want that to be able to be the case. Like, you want the defense to have to commit to it. Either way, you were good enough to withstand that mistake, and then not only did you withstand it, it turned into a 55-yard touchdown.
The biggest play of the game, arguably, in terms of righting the ship, turning the tide back towards the Bears' favor.
And also credit to Phil Thompson of the Chicago Tribune for asking that question, too. He always does a great job. Jonah Jackson was also asked about it yesterday.
After the game, Caleb talked about the 55-yarder, and he said he messed up the play call, but once the ball was snapped, everything kind of got made right. How did that happen?
What play was the 55-yarder again?
The pitch and catch, the Swift.
Oh, Swift. I didn't hear the wrong play. You know, we heard the play, we protected it, and, you know, it worked out, so.
You didn't notice anything?
I didn't know it was the wrong play call. It was a perfect play call for the protection and for the scheme, so, yeah, it worked out.
A likely story, Jonah Jackson.
Well,
Jonah Jackson ain't snitching.
It could be Jonah Jackson ain't snitching, or it could be his part of the play that he has to pay attention to because of the protection that's called out was fine. It was maybe a route or a receiver. Or, you know what I'm saying? There's so many different parts to a play call that if he messes up one part, it may not affect a group of people, but it definitely affects another group of people.
I think I'm biased because I saw him say it on the Bears YouTube channel, and he was smiling.
Yeah, I saw him say it too, and I got more of the impression that Marshall has on it though. But that's the beauty of it. There's different ways to interpret these type of things.
But he also, I did think he's probably also right. Like, I'm joking and having fun with it, but it worked. And he's like, well, it worked. Like the way you could say that. But also, if he was protecting his guys, which is his entire job, well played, well played.
I just love that the Bears are on the upswing, and I haven't been talking about the Bears on the upswing in quite some time.
And wasn't the stumble bum birthed of a mistake? Like, wasn't it originally an actual occurrence in practice that then became the play?
Right. They saw it, and then Ben Johnson's like, I could probably do something with that. And did something with that yeah, that's what happened.
I still can't believe the Lions celebrated by the stumble bum. That was the most petty of all the things, was mocking the stumble bum in your touchdown celebration.
They had a lot of chances to celebrate, so they could pick their celebration in that particular contest.
That they did. Coming up next, we're gonna go behind enemy lines a little bit. Go down to New Orleans. Fletcher Mackle, the sports director of WDSU in New Orleans. He's been there for many years, going back to the Sean Payton days, you know, and Ben Johnson and Sean Payton go way back. So we'll talk to him about the Saints, the Bears' upcoming opponent, and much more. That's next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.